Good morning. So it's Psalm 40 again. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.
Thank you, Sarah, for the reading. I often find with the readings there's a sense of blessing just having the word read out. Just have the signal. I'll just pray before we carry on. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your love is strong and true. We sung it this morning, Lord, and your loving kindness follows us all the days of our life. For that, Lord, that puts a song in our hearts. It puts a song in my heart this morning, Lord. Thank you that you've given us words to sing, truth to sing out, Lord. Sometimes we don't feel in that right mood in the morning to sing, but Lord, it goes beyond how we feel. Something of a motivation that just rises up, as Phil's just said. It rises up, Lord, to bless you. And so, Lord, we want to continue to bless you this morning just by hearing what you have for us, Lord. And you speak through all kinds of earthen vessel, Lord. Many with scars, many have cracks. Lord, much areas that are worn out, but Lord, it's you who comes and refreshes. It's you who first moulded us as clay pots. And all we need to do is yield, Lord, come to you and say, Lord, here I am, wholly available to you. Precious Lord, we love you this morning. Amen. I was once told that when I share something, And it was said in love, but they said, oh, you don't need to apologize all the time. And it's probably a thing that when you're learning to do something, you do things that are, and I still am very much learning. But I have to apologize this morning, say, you've got me twice in a row. And it's not through, anyway, me saying, I want to do it. It's not, it's how it's fallen. So if you weren't here last week, then I was sharing last week. So just, anyway, a humble apology. You've got part two of Psalm 40. There you are. I won't apologize again. But, it's an incredible psalm, and I love the ebb and flow of the Psalms as a general book. And I think it was Martin Luther said that you can actually find that hidden within the Psalms is almost the whole complete Bible within Psalms. So you've got lots of many doctrines and truths that are actually in the Psalms. And then if you put that to song, which they were, you've got something that they used to almost would be able to memorize, the Lord's words, you know, and that is an incredible thing. So for some thickos like myself, song is often a way to remember scripture, words that are so kind of deep in your heart. And I recommend that for some, it may be just for one or two here, but it is something that if you struggle with memorizing things, because what the Lord amazingly does, he'll put you into a situation in work or a family member when you're trying to think of something and you just can't get the words. Have you ever been there and you're like, or you've had that conversation, you go away and I should have said this, that would have just sounded so eloquent. That's but in actual fact, the Lord sometimes, he wants us, his body, the church, to almost kind of feast on his word more through reading and through song, the very basic diet of what Christians should be, just because he may at some stage, through the incredible work of the Holy Spirit, bring one of those things you remembered up into a conversation. Or it could be up into a deed that you do for something. We just heard it from Chris. That's inspired by the Lord. He somehow uses the energies of our human capacities. Then he puts in the amazing mixture of his spirit. Then it goes out and it affects people. And that's a wonderful thing. And it comes down to the theme of some of the hymns that we were singing about the love of God. Without the love of God, evangelism, speaking to different people and folk, it can become just so very dry and hard like. But when the Lord's love flows in and through our words and our deeds, oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? And David was someone that ebb and flowed. I don't know if David was quite an emotional chap, but I think he had a tender heart, and God said he was a man after his own heart. I think there was a tenderness there. At times he strayed, and we all have strayed, but yet he still came back to the rock. And I just wanted to just very briefly just go over for you, if you were here last week, you can do the little bit now where you look like you're really concentrating, but you can switch off. Okay, you've heard it, but I just wanted to just do a brief outline of last week, and it was just the incredible few verses in the beginning of Psalm where it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He hears our cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. We've all been in that pit. And you may actually this morning still feel like you're in that pit. And out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he's established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. In some ways that's been expressed this morning. If there's not life within, sometimes those songs can be a little bit like, but when he does something that's deep within, the song almost just has to find expression. And I think he means a lot more than us just singing. I think the song is a lot more than what's said in here. It's actually our lives and our day-to-day lives, because it says then, many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. That's an incredible truth. So really last week it was just a little thing of being in the miry clay, and it says here, I waited patiently for the Lord. And I looked up what the kind of the Hebrew meaning of that waiting patiently means. And in Hebrew it almost gives an expression of I waited. Now I'm a simple guy, but I kind of think that's probably quite important that they've actually used the double word there. So the meaning is I waited waited. And one of the things about waiting patiently on the Lord is it usually means refrain from doing things in your own strength. If I could just sum it up, that's my little thing. I don't know if you're like me, but maybe a bit of impatience kicks in with a situation. It could even be within the church and you're wanting to rush in and get something sorted. I waited. It's a refraining from doing things on our own strength. We may be have all great ability to do something. I could solve this thing, whatever it is, a hurt, an issue. There are times when the Lord wants that wait. And then the second time, wait. And I'm thinking of a Braveheart movie now, Mel Gibson. Hold the line! Hold! There's a big battle scene, okay? Go with me, will you? It's the Scots as well, against the English. But he says, hold the line, hold. Braveheart, wait. There's something naturally that's in us that wants to go springing up and get involved in something and it can cause hurt. I say that to myself. And I think David was in that kind of mentality that he would have just rushed into something, and we all do it. But here God is saying, wait. Waited and waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Wonderful truth. How do you find that when you want to get something resolved very quickly? The hard thing is that when you're in your workplace, there are times when you have to act pretty quick and get straight in there and actually get something resolved or sorted out. And it's changing from that mentality of a workplace sometimes to actually within the body in the church. I know I'm not saying anything like a dualistic way of living where you put church in one compartment and then... But there is a sense, and I find this, is that when you're in work mode, you sometimes can bring that into kind of the body mold, church, you know. And I'm just being very honest, it's like, Lord, wisdom. We need your wisdom. But how he helps, how he's given us they call it the paraclete, don't they? The helper, the Holy Spirit. It's a great paraclete, I love that word. I can actually say it quite well as well, because there's some words, as you know, I struggle with. Onesimus, well, there's a few others, but paraclete. It's a great word. It's a helper. Great illustration of the work of the Holy Spirit, that he comes alongside. In some ways, it almost doesn't describe it enough. The Holy Spirit, yes, comes alongside, and he kind of gives boundaries, and he protects, but he's deep within. Amazing. I'm going off tangent here. But the Lord leads. He's wonderful. I was thinking about this pit, that he takes us out of this horrible pit. I was reading about do you remember, it was some years ago now, in Chile there was the miners were down in, deep down underground in that pit. I think it was about 2011 maybe, deep down, and they were just stuck down there for 69 days. And I read a little bit about what they went through. I don't know if there's any kind of... It's probably a movie, Hollywood or some... I don't know. But just read... There is, okay. I'm not sure. I won't recommend it because I haven't seen it. But the actual reading about it is an incredible thing. 69 days. There's one man down there that I know of that loved the Lord Jesus. That one man down in that pit, he would sing with the men down there. He actually would pray with them. And from that one man and his willingness and his relationship with the Lord affected many down there. Now if you can picture how that would be down deep in the depths of a pit, possibly of many not having any hope at all, this one man, and I was thinking, oh Lord, how he's come down into that place. And from that the Lord moved on those people. And I'm sure there's more details, but I found that incredible. From the pit, there came life. Just a little question for you. Can you maybe, and I was going to ask the people on Zoom first, is that okay? They may want to write it on the chat bit. I was thinking about trying to involve the Zoom people a bit more, because they listen. But if you're on Zoom, can you name me a prophet that was actually down at the bottom of a pit. And you can write it on your chat. You may get an answer through guys on the...
Jeremiah.
Irene. Did they hear that or not?
Can Jeremiah was down a pit.
Irene's got the right answer just like that. I thought someone may have said, well, it's not, well, Prophet Joseph, there's others as well. But yeah, Jeremiah was down a pit, wasn't he? I think it was King Zedekiah, and he was basically down a pit, hopeless, no hope, stuck down there, and it said it actually went down to the clay, which means it's probably some kind of well, because down on the bottom of the well there was a clay. And he was rescued. How did they rescue him? Ropes under the armpits, hoisted him up. Amazing. Another great picture of the Lord's rescuing. This whole psalm is about his, God's amazing deliverance. He has delivered you. That's an incredible thing. Does that put a new song in your heart? And after speaking last Sunday, similar to what Chris mentioned earlier on, after speaking on Sunday last week, the Monday was a miry day. Often when you stand up and if you even just confess anything outwards, the wicked one will come in. He'll come in and say how worthless you are. He'll come in and accuse you of things. He's the great accuser. But then you have the strength to at least allow him to put you back on his rock. And I found that, but Monday was a bad one. And we have these days, not just a Monday in general, going back to work, but there were things coming in from the wicked one. But how amazing it is that somehow there's that rock there. Amazing truth. Let's just go on. I've been thinking a little bit about a few verses in chapter, we're in 40. Let's just go through to verses 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Most of the culture of today is turning to lies. Okay, I mentioned last week that for years now, there's been this thing about 20 odd years ago that if you were seeking truth, many people's religions were built upon almost an external truth. So whatever religion it was, it's like, oh, well, my God is so and so up there, and I believe, and I'm going to come back as a reincarnate. Okay, the culture is changing now where that is irrelevant. Many people's worldview is not that there's any external God; it's that the God has become in here. Deep down inside, I will make up my truth. And that truth is, well, if I feel like this, I'm going to be okay. Now that is what we're up against, and that is very, very hard. Has it happened before? Yes, it has. But that does actually then kind of almost change the way you talk with people. If they have no regard and no truth and belief at all about any external God, it does change the way you talk and the way you listen. Does that make sense? Oh, wisdom again. Lord, give us wisdom in what comes out of our mouth. And it goes on. It says, Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. And we sung 10,000 reasons earlier on. Phil said there's many more. You can't number it. And your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then this is the key verse, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Just go with me, if you've got your Bible, just turn with me into Hebrews. And Hebrews gives a really great illustration about offerings and sacrifice. And I stumbled across this verse and I was thinking about sacrifice and offerings. And really it's saying back then there was almost like this Levitical priesthood that would offer burnt animals as a sacrifice and offering. It was the way that they would feel at that time and that their sins would be atoned for and dealt with. And then it just goes on to Hebrews now and it says this, And I know I mentioned it last week. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, this is Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of this book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And then he goes and repeats those similar scriptures then. Go down to verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, I've underlined it in my Bible twice, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Why did I read that? Well, there's something about the thing in the Old Testament that has been totally fulfilled now in Jesus Christ. Is there a tendency as human beings to go back to those things of bringing some kind, offering and sacrifice in the right time and the right place is correct, by the way. Don't misunderstand me. But there's something about resorting to the human strength and effort to make ourselves right with God. The thing is, you end up failing. If I do this just a bit more, then I think I could be okay. If I could share this a bit neater, if I could serve that a little bit more, then that could get me some good standing. Can I just say, you'll fail. It's realizing this, that it's the Lord Jesus that's taken all of our sins away. I had it in my notes, which I must refer to, or so I really will go off track. The Levitical sacrifice could not put sin away. Christ's sacrifice of himself cancelled sin. It was brought to naught. I made that up. Brought to naught, it rhymed. But he's brought sin to naught. That's amazing. Christ's offering, him at the cross, fulfilled the will of God with regard to sacrifice. And I've just put in bold letters, a better sacrifice. You know how we can strive and try and get that better standing with the Lord. We have to come to the place of knowing that we are absolutely nothing. But he is the one that lifts us out of that pit, places us on a rock, establishes our ways, and they're good ways. Will you fail? Yes. After that, puts that wonderful song in our heart. So sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. I don't know about you, but I love the image of... do I love the image? It's the thing of the unblocking of the ears. It's the digging out. The actual meaning is the digging out of ears. I think when the Lord comes into your life, he does something to our ears that we're not always conscious of. He doesn't make them larger or smaller.
Spiritual syringe.
Spiritual syringe. Thanks, Brian. There's an image that we'll move on quickly. In some ways, there is a true unblocking. There really is. There really is an unblocking that goes on. Offering, sacrifice and obedience. I've put here, I don't know if you remember the story, I said when David sought to buy the threshing floor from Araunah to build an altar on which to make an offering to God as intercession to stop a plague in the land, it says, Araunah offered to donate the land, the stone for the altar, the wood for the fire, even the oxen for the sacrifice. And David said quite powerfully, he said, no. I will pay full price, for I will not offer the Lord my God that which costs me nothing. That's the thing, that we can get into this trap of thinking that we can offer and sacrifice so many things. But the thing is, it's relying on the wonderful true sacrifice of what the Lord has done. He has put sin away. I was thinking of another illustration. Sorry, I asked Helen yesterday. Sorry, Helen, I'm putting you on the spot. I said, Helen, what's the difference between offering and sacrifice? I mean, it's a conversation you have on a nice Saturday afternoon, isn't it? But, and we were just talking, like, what is the difference between offering and sacrifice? And I...
Can you imagine the domestics?
Oh, we keep sweet. But the thing is, there's a little illustration. It says, I don't say it in a flippant way, but this may help people understand it, but there was a chicken and a pig walking up the road, and there was a bed and breakfast, and it had on the sign outside, come and get your bacon and eggs, and all the proceeds will go to charity. And then the chicken said to the pig, well, I think that's really good, we need to go and do that, we need to give something to... So then the pig said, well, that's fine for you to say, but it's different for me. I'll let you get that. Okay? So what he's saying is that the chicken could lay an egg and give the egg and move on to life, but the pig, it was the end of days. Now that really helped me understand the thing of the difference of sacrifice and offering. And I don't say it in a flippant way, it's the way I understood it. But that is the thing. Something more in this great sacrifice and offering of the Lord Jesus. So much more. And then it says again about the unblocking of the ears. And it talks a little, I was thinking about the unblocking of the ears. What does that really mean, the unblocking of the ears? I think, just by reading that, I was thinking about what the Lord wants is fellowship, one with Him, communion. Now what happens when your ears are unblocked? There you can move into a new, fresh fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The day that He comes and unblocks your ears, there's some sweet fellowship going on. And that's what He desires. He desires it this morning. He desires it this afternoon in some quiet time. And I was thinking about in Genesis when God was out walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and at the moment I'm roasting up here, but God was out walking in the cool of the day, and He asked, where were they? Where are you? And they were hiding from Him, Adam and Eve. All He wanted was a continued sense of fellowship. And so many of us go through times of not having that fellowship, and I've been there. But what a sweet thing when the Lord comes along, and powerful thing is when He unblocks your ears, you can come into wonderful fellowship with Him. You can face tomorrow. What's that hymn? Something I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. Kind of works, doesn't it? But because He lives, I can face this fellowship, this communion that we can have. It's wonderful. So the Lord doesn't require the burnt offering, offering things up which were almost man-made. He actually wasn't pleased in some sense with that way of doing it. But it was for the time, those laws of the burnt offering. The Lord didn't want to totally say that wasn't needed. He kind of in some ways allowed it, and it was for that time and place. But in the Lord Jesus, let's go back into Hebrews, it says this. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. To me it sounds almost quite tiresome. It almost can be a little bit of a duty. And get tired from it. And then it says, which can never ever take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice, which is Him Himself at the cross, for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I noticed two things there when I was reading that over and over again. It was the priests that were actually stood up in the standing position, almost using their energies to offer up sins for that thing, kept on going. But who was it that was sat down? Jesus was the one. He did it once and then sat down. You've got the continued standing up and energies, the human energies and the striving and all that. Oh, the Lord once and for all and then sat down. And in a sense wants us to come into that relationship with Him where we do not need to strive. It's coming to Him, offering Him, maybe you've never or not offered to Him yourself this morning, even those on Zoom. It's a wonderful place. I think it was Les at Quint said, one of the best prayers that you can actually offer up is, it's almost like, Lord, I'm here. It's something I'm simplifying, but Lord, here I am. It's one of those prayers that God actually rushes into. Have you cried out recently, Lord, here I am? It's that cry that He has His ear so inclined and wants to actually rush in and do something. Verse 13, from that time, waiting till His enemies are made His footstools. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses for us, for after He had said before, this is the covenant which I now make with them that those days, says the Lord, I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds will remember no more. I remember no more. Now, where is remission of these? There is no longer an offering for sin. It's all been done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go there, but I just want to read this verse in Corinthians. It says this. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation or letters of commendation from you? This is about people that used to peddle the gospel or scripture for their own deeds and their own means, okay? And then it goes on. You are the epistle written in our hearts. You are the epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. I just wanted to tease something out there, that there's something about the old, of the offering and the sacrifice and the burnt offering that were of stone. You know, the laws were written on stones. They were written on hard stones. There was almost a hardness, but for the time, keeping a moral order in some ways. But now, the Lord is now writing it in soft hearts. I think it was Eddie Lyle at Quinter used this little phrase, tenderized hearts. Please don't go thinking about steak now. I can see a few faces. But He works in tenderizing our hearts. There was a day, and I know it's been said from here in recent times, but for many years, that there was a day when the hard heart was removed and was given a soft heart. And I've got to say, it's a wonderful truth that the Lord can do that in a heart. It's miraculous. It is absolutely miraculous. Only because there's a sense of when you reflect on your own life, there's something that you can trace back, a hardness. Sometimes it can be something that's just within the family. Sometimes it can be something that you got yourself into. You allow room for the wicked one to... But what the Lord does, when He plucks you out of that pit, puts you on His rock, He opens ears and He also tenderizes our hearts. He almost gives a sense of what He actually did for you and I here this morning. He was the wonderful sacrifice. He offered up His life for us and for many that we now are having contact with, for the whole world. Wonderful truth. But for this man, we would be left in absolute sorrow, in anger, in confusion. But the Lord brings and establishes our ways. He brings order to a life that, for me, I would have been chaotic. As a young guy, it just would have been chasing after things, chasing after a sense of being accepted by a people group. Now I'm fully accepted in the Lord Jesus, And I love it. It brings us, does it bring a smile to you this morning? Oh, those everlasting arms, they're wonderful. And then the psalm goes on, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Each day in the morning you can say that as you wake up. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. What the devil will try and do is actually sow lies that he would say is truth these days, but it's not. There's truth and truth in the scripture, and the Lord's life is truth. We must cling to that. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquity has overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. Imagine being at that place, not being able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. And then it goes on, the last, it says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion, who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor, who wish me evil. Let me be confounded because of their shame. Woe, say to me, aha, aha. People will turn back and laugh at the life that you're living. You may have old friends that are still following the old way. They often will actually turn and laugh at you and the way you're living. I've had it in previous years in different workplaces. There's almost a laughing at, why don't you do this? Why don't you enjoy and do that pleasure? Well, one of the first things they do is, why don't you ever swear? Language is one of the key things, by the way. People almost subconsciously work out that, oh, this person doesn't swear. Already there, you've got an opening to just say, why don't you swear? That's one of the questions that I've often, why don't you swear? You know, sometimes we can actually not think they're opportunity. They are. But they all, a lot will stand there laughing. It says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. If you know you've come up from the pit and the Lord has brought you onto that rock, it will bring a song in your heart. It will. I'm convinced of it, that there will be a gladness. Okay, sometimes I sit there and the eyes start watering. But in some way, someone said to me once that joy is not happiness. It's not. Happiness is quite a worldly concept of just, oh, you must, the pursuit of happiness. I think that was a film. But there's a pursuit for happiness. Joy is something different. It's deeper. It's almost been expressed, I think, because someone knows that they've come from a pit and been plucked up. Someone said to me that joy actually is mingled with grief. True joy is actually have a mingling of grief. And I can understand that because I think it's something that if you have true joy in your heart, you have some kind of knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done. Happiness will fade, and then you'll have to do something else to get that happiness. Then you'll need to go somewhere else to get happiness. True joy is actually just having a lovely, simple relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that you don't need to do your offerings and your sacrifices on bringing up a burnt offering of an animal. Let's just finish. Sorry, time is going. Last verse. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And I just love it that David had been through this ebb and flow of his daily living, being chased, failing, which we do fail, then getting back up. And at the end of it, he has this wonderful order of being able to say, but me, poor and needy. And that means in spirit, sometimes feeling a bit, Lord, I can't handle this, but Lord, I'm hungry and thirsty. And then he's got it in the right way round, because he's then saying, I'm poor and needy. And then he says, but you are my help and my deliverer. Oh, I think you could probably say to David, if he's here now, you could probably say, David, is that, you've learnt through all your life now, you've got to the stage where you now have got it right in order, is in, I'm pretty much weak on my own efforts. But with the Lord, oh, the everlasting arms of the Lord, he can actually just take your places, teach you things. And he had it and finished it in the right order. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shall I just pray? Just really energized to say that it's, in a sense, we humanly feel that we have to then just do something of striving in our own efforts. And the Lord simply wants us to come. But for this man, the wonderful Lord Jesus, he can put things on our hearts. If our heart has been tenderized by the Lord Jesus, he can put things in our hearts. Maybe you're at that place when you kind of believe some things, but other things that you can't work it out. You know, that's fine with the Lord. He doesn't mind you wrestling with him in a sense, but he just wants you to come as you are. Maybe that's for someone this morning. You can come and say, Lord, I don't fully understand what I'm even doing, but I do just come and say, would you do something in my heart this morning? I want that new song deep in the depths of me. Lord, and it's only through your life and you doing your wonderful will of the Father that's given us, Lord, freedom to come, Lord. It was you who did the will of the Father. You said that my food is to do the will of the Father. And because of this one amazing sacrifice, we have access, Lord, to come in now and be right with God. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, thank you for stirring our hearts today, Lord. We pray that it would be taken out to those that we see and speak to. We do pray for steps of hope, Lord. That this song that you've put in their heart there, Lord Jesus, Lord, it would be allowed to be coming out, Lord, and it would be received with gladness, Lord. So many people in the New Testament received it with gladness and joy. There's something in that, Lord. Lord, I'm so glad that I know you, Lord, this morning. And that I'm in this incredible body, Lord. Lord, we love you. Amen, Lord.